This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Welcome into the Inferno Podcast, episode 43. I'm your host, Landrum Roberts. As always, today's rundown being brought to you by Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. We continue our car wash, so to speak, of UAB men's basketball. Coach Andy Kennedy is going to be joining us. We'll talk about the three gentlemen that are going to be joining us today, some of the newcomers, Chance Westry, Ahmad Robinson, and also Paul Jobet. Also, some of the rules oversight panel, what they've decided implementation as far as game flow and some changes we could see on the court and we'll see in the 2025-2026 college basketball season. All of that and more, it's episode 43, The Inferno. Stay with us.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB Athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
The Inferno Podcast, Blazer fans, we've made it really, really easy for you. There's a lot of different ways that you can consume this podcast each and every week, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. But you're going to appreciate it because we're going to keep you up to date on everything going on within the athletics program, the Green and Gold. YouTube, it's pretty simple. At Inferno Podcast UAB, like, subscribe, ring the bell, tell your family about it, your friends, your neighbors, spread it around the office. This thing is going to catch fire, literally. Appreciate you joining us there on YouTube, but also Instagram. You can find us Inferno_pod on Twitter, or the X if you prefer, at Inferno_pod_UAB on Facebook. That's kind of the OG, right? UAB Athletics. You can find it there on Facebook. And, of course, you can go to UABSports.com. We've got links. We've got all different ways. There is no excuse for you to miss the Inferno Podcast each and every week.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. Landrum Roberts once again being joined by UAB head men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy. This is our Coach's Corner segment brought to you by our friends at Pepsi and Viva Health. The summer continues. Coach, the grind continues now. How many weeks of workouts do we have with your new group?
We're in week two. We get 8 weeks in the summer. A limited amount on the court, but it's just great to get acclimated, you know, to try to create a culture of work and see who can do what as you try to schematically figure out what's the best way in which your team can play. So we're heading into week two. We still don't really have any new news. We're only operating with 9 scholarship players that are with us right now. Ahmad Robinson, who's joining us later on the podcast, is still rehabbing from a torn labrum. He had surgery late March. So he's way ahead of schedule. We're still probably a few weeks away from him doing anything with the team. He's here. He's rehabbing daily, but you don't want to rush those type things. And then Big Joe is still in Brazil. Jacob Meyer is, as we tape this, is finishing up. They're on the quarter system at DePaul. When I was at UAB, UAB was on the quarter system. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like, yeah, they start
school. I was on the quarter system for a while.
Yeah.
I was in school.
I like it. Because,
I liked it too.
Because, you know, you're in classes longer, but you didn't go to class on Friday. At UAB, Friday was lab day when I was in school here. So anyway, Jacob Meyer is on the quarter system at DePaul, so they're finishing up their semester. So you can't be dually enrolled, so he has to finish at DePaul. We have to get those grades before he can start working out with us. He's here, he can't engage in team activity. So we're still sitting at 9 right now, but it's been great. I'm learning a lot about our guys.
I saw some of the highlights, the hype video from week one. You guys look like you're getting after it. Look really good.
Yeah, there's really no option there. Everybody, you know, comes up to me and says, well, coach, your team always plays hard, but there's really not a B. You know, I mean, there's not another option. This is just what you do. So we're trying to establish a culture of work. And we're trying to just come up with some basic, you know, I told you my premise on habits and priorities, the rest is just noise. So we're trying to create habits. And so we're being redundant in some of our own court drills just to try to create some habits early. So I'm sure the guys are looking around like, is this what we're going to do every day? Well, it is until you figure this out, and then we'll go to phase two. So that's where we are right now.
Some of the guys that we're going to meet today, you mentioned him, and going back to Ahmad Robinson, who started his career from West Orange, New Jersey, but started his career at the community college level, worked his way up to New Hampshire and
crazy, right?
Then to Mercer. But I was watching highlights of this guy, and not questioning you or anything else, and you can only tell so much from highlights, but he just looks like everything I would think that Andy Kennedy would want in his guard.
I hope so. You know, you don't really know. I know that he checked all the boxes. We were very, very intentional in getting a dynamic playmaker. We needed multiple dynamic playmakers. But we felt like with Ahmad, he's a guy that he's about 5'11". He's strong. He's built like a tailback. He's very, very explosive. He can shoot it at all three levels. He's a great rebounder. You know, for a guy his size, he's a guy that gets around 5 or 6 rebounds a game. He gets 5 or 6 assists. So he really impacts the game on
multiple
levels.
Dribble drive, too.
Yeah, he's a guy that I can't wait to get him out there and get him acclimated as to who we think he's capable of being. Again, we'll be a little bit delayed in that. It certainly won't be June. Maybe as he continues to progress in his rehab, it could be mid to the end of July. And then when we get back at the end of August, starting fall term, we think he'll be full go and hopefully by then ready to really lead us from the front.
Paul Jobet, wing, talented guy, played 2 years there at Miami. And he was a 4-star prospect coming out of high school, very prolific in not only the state of Florida there at the prep academy where he was, but also in the state of Georgia.
Well, what you see when you see these new kids come in that have been at legit programs, you know, I mean, Paul was with Jim Larrañaga at the University of Miami, man, a legend in the game. Taking 2 teams to the Final Four. He took Miami to the Final Four. People forget he also took George Mason to the Final Four years back. And so you can tell he's been coached. He understands, you know, the expectation of how you need to perform in a Division I practice. He's got length. He's got versatility. He can make an open shot. You know, he's figuring out terminology. When you bring a kid in that has been in a program such as Miami, they have certain ways in which they describe things. Well, we probably describe them differently, so that's a little bit of a change for him. But you can tell he's operated in an ACC program before.
I can imagine that, for a lot of these guys, no matter the place, but going from Miami to coming here, probably a little bit different as far as the scene.
You know what's crazy is like, and I know you've talked about this with guys that we've had come through, but a lot of these guys they've never been to Birmingham. They've never been to the state of Alabama. They don't really have much of an expectation. And then they come here, and they think maybe it's a college town because many of them are familiar with college towns, but they're not familiar with, quote-unquote, a city. So it's a pleasant surprise to them. I've watched a few of the guys that you've had on talk about those things. So I don't know what Paul's expectation was. He's coming from Miami, Coral Gables, South Beach, pretty cool where the University of Miami is.
For sure.
To come to Birmingham, so I'm sure it's been a change for him as well.
What is that? What is a player like him where he's a guard, but he's 6'7", he's a wing? How do you envision him maybe you guys are going to do next year?
You know, for us, I know there's 2 spots he won't play. He won't play the point. He won't play the 5. Everything else is pretty interchangeable. Our 2, 3s, and 4s are pretty interchangeable. It really comes down to who you can guard. Like people say, okay, I want to be I'm a guard. I'm a wing. Well, can you guard a wing? We'll figure out what to do with you offensively. That's my job. I'm going to put you in the best position possible to showcase what you can do. It's just who you can guard. So he's probably more of a 3-4 than a 2-3. But again, 2, 3, and 4 in our system is pretty interchangeable.
Coach, another guy that we're excited about, got to see him get his start at Auburn, then to Syracuse, injury, some other things kind of plaguing the early parts of his career. But Chance Westry, this is a guy that had all the accolades coming out of high school, and that was a really, really big get for you guys in the portal.
Yeah, you know, it's ironic is when we scrimmaged Auburn when Chance was there, and he didn't scrimmage against us. He was injured. He didn't play. But I remember him being around. I remember they were very, very excited about having him on the team. I think he played a handful of games and then went down with a knee situation, transferred to Syracuse, and just had bad luck. I hope it's all behind him. You know, the kid hadn't been able to catch a break as it relates to being healthy and being whole. I know that he's hungry. We had a connection through some people that we had recruited in the past. He knew about our reputation. We certainly knew about his, and we felt like it was the perfect match. He's a guy that's got a lot of talent, 6'6", can play any one of the perimeter spots, and I know that he's very, very excited about having an opportunity because he feels like he's been in the on-deck circle for a long time. He'd like to get to bat.
Is there one area that you would say is the most critical in these months right now for your new team with so many new faces? Is it more about teaching concept, idea, installation? What part of that would be?
You know, I said this before, but the most overused words in our line of business, people always talk about culture and they always talk about the process, but that really, not to jump in line with Coach Peak, but that is the most important. What is our culture? What is the expectation? How do you win? You know, if you come into our practice facility, UAB basketball, men's basketball is 47 years old. And not every team of those 47 is acknowledged. Only the teams that do something worth acknowledging, i.e. winning a conference championship or making a run in postseason play or whatever, those are acknowledged by being on the wall. But not all 47 are on that wall. So the goal is to get to the wall. And getting to that wall, Nick Saban had a great line before: the illusion of choice. Everybody thinks, oh, I got all these choices. I can do this. I can do that. Well, maybe you do, but in order to be successful in my business, it takes what it takes. And there's 364 Division I basketball teams, and every one of them is working right now in some capacity, just like we are. What is going to separate the 30 or 40 that or at the end of the year, you're going to look at and say, man, they had a really good year. That's where we're trying to go. We're trying to be in the top 10, 15% of college basketball. So it's about a culture. It's about an expectation. It's about a way in which we carry ourselves on and off the floor. Schematically, believe it or not, and some people would have a hard time sleeping at night if this was their mentality, but it's just a necessity that I've learned to adapt to. I don't really know how this team is going to play yet until I figure out what is in their best interest. And then it's up to me to put them in the best position possible based on my experience. I've got a deep catalog of a lot of different things that we can do. We may have to emphasize this more than this, but ultimately I've got to put them in the best position possible to be successful. And I'll do that once I figure out what that path is.
The road to success is always under construction.
Always. Yeah. And you've got to, you know, I said it before, it's like, we were talking today. We had a workout today, and we're turning the ball over like crazy, and it's my biggest pet peeve in all of basketball. I think it's the one thing that's very, very difficult to overcome if you turn it over, regardless of your sport. You could have a great game in football, but if you're losing that turnover margin, you are really, really limiting your margin for error. It's the same in baseball as it relates to errors. It's the same in soccer. You know, so turning that ball over, ball security is very, very important to me, and I haven't gotten that message. I'll get that message across to them, but it hadn't been delivered as of yet. But for us, we always talk about, hey, man, these guys are turning the ball over because they're driving into traffic with no plan. When I leave here today, I'm gonna merge onto I-65, and I'm going to have a plan as I merge in there, because if I just drive in there and try to figure it out, it's probably not going to be a great outcome. So everything's got to be with a plan. You got to process things quicker. You've got to have an understanding of what's happening. It starts with awareness, and it starts with me being able to put them in the best position possible so they can showcase why they're here.
I do want to get your thoughts briefly since we visited last. NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Panel. They approved some changes to help with game flow. Yep. Coaches challenged at any point in the game to review out of bounds, basket interference, goaltending, whatever.
You got to have a timeout, and if you use it and you're right, you get another one. If you use it and you're wrong, you don't get another one. But one thing that surprised me.
How are you deciding that?
Well, we'll have video, you know, because you see in the NBA, yeah, and it's like the new thing. You're going to see our guys doing it all the time, too. It drives me crazy. You're going to watch it tonight in the NBA Finals. Every time there's a call that goes against your team, everyone I'm going to be doing this. Review it.
Sure.
So coaches have to be smart and say, well, I can't trust Landrum. He thinks it's off him. Well, He's always going to say review it.
Yeah.
So we have to go to our video people, and if we get a good vision of, hey, they may have missed that, then you'll have a chance to review. So it's got to happen real time. But in the NBA, if you use the challenge and you're wrong, they'll take a timeout from you. I thought they would do that in the NCAA, but they didn't. You have to have a timeout to use it. But if you're wrong, you just don't get the opportunity to do it again. They don't really penalize you as it relates to taking away a timeout.
Also, Coach, modifications to the rule of continuous motion on field goal attempts.
I've been for this for 15 years. It's the old and one in the NBA. It used to be there were charges everywhere on the court. And then about 2 years ago, now you can't hardly take a charge because they changed it to upward motion. So the upward motion, it put the officials in a tough spot. Now it is, if you are starting your move towards the basket and you foul me, I can continue by taking a step as long as I don't dribble. That's the NBA and one rule. So you can foul me at the free throw line. I can still step and finish, and it's going to be weird, and the fans are going to say, oh, that was after the foul, but that will now be good. It'll increase scoring, and I think it'll be easier for the officials, and I think, honestly, it'll be easier for our guys to adapt to.
It seemed like in the last couple of years it was a gray area and just depended on what officiating crew you got.
Yeah, and I think officiating basketball is very, very difficult, and I think it's something that lessens the burden. It makes it easier for the official. It makes it easier for the player, so I think it's going to flow the game better.
NBA, they do it. Women's college basketball, they adopted it a few years ago, but also being discussed, the 20-minute halves as opposed to 4 10-minute quarters. Is it advantageous other than this is the way we've always done it to keep it at 20?
It's one reason and one reason only. It's a reason that you have commercial breaks that we'll break here for one. It's all about sponsorship. You lose inventory time going to quarters. That's all it is. That's all it is. They did a study of this because men's basketball is the only basketball league in the country that doesn't play quarters. We're the only ones that now still play halves, but it's about the inventory. They were losing about 2 minutes of inventory a half for commercial, and they didn't want to give up that money, and no one wanted to give it back. So so as a result, that's why they're staying with the halves. I think the quarters are good, and I think there's a big movement on them trying to figure some things out in the men's game to move it to quarters. I see the most momentum I've seen in this discussion, which has been going on forever, it seems. The only thing that I don't like about the quarters is the fact that you take away the one-and-one. Every foul is a two-shot foul. Because now team fouls, when you get to five fouls, now you're in a bonus. And they don't do the one-and-one. They just go right to two. And I think there is some strategy in the one-and-one. For right now in the men's game, on foul 7, foul 8, foul 9, as long as it's not shooting, it's a one-and-one as opposed to a two-shot foul. Then when you get to 10, it's two. But that would take that away, which I'm not for.
It's summertime. I know you got a lot on your hands with these new faces and trying to implement things within your program. You got any plans to get away with the family?
Yeah. Eventually, you know, usually the month of May is the best time to be a college basketball coach because there's no games, there's no players, there's no recruiting, no one knows your name. Kind of like opposite of Norman Cheers, where everybody knows your name. Nobody knows your name, and that's what you want as a coach. But that's changed, man. We were still putting our team together in May. Now we're in June. We've got camps going on. We've got workouts going on. We'll find a break around the 4th. I'll give my guys the week of the 4th off. And so I'm going to break away with some friends and family and get away for a minute. And then it probably won't happen again until August. And I hate it. I like the beach in May because it's not so hot. The kids aren't out of school, meaning, you know, great. So it's not as crowded. It's not as hot. May's when it's at. August ain't great because it's just going to be so stifling, but I'll have to adapt.
I love the Alabama Gulf Coast late September, early October, but obviously that's not conducive for what we do.
Yeah, it's not happening for us.
No, it's not. Anything else you'd like to leave with before we meet three new faces?
No, we're still working on our non-con schedule.
I was going to ask you about that.
You know, we don't have anything. We've got some things I think our fans are going to be excited about. I can't talk about it yet because all the contracts aren't back. It's very, very difficult. I mean, contracts start like, let's say I'm playing you and I'm going to be the host school. Well, then I send you, the contract comes from me, so I send it to you. You have to sign it, send it back to me. I have to sign it, and then I send it back to you. That's crazy. So we've got two or three things that I think our fans will be excited about that's in the works unless something happens that I'm not anticipating. We've got some marquee matchups set up. We're still working on our in-season tournament. They call it an MTE, our multi-team event. Got some exciting news there. And then we're just trying to strategically put together something that our fans can be excited about, but it also helps our team. It puts our team in the best position possible to challenge itself prior to getting into the rigors of conference play.
Home and home with Santa Clara.
Yeah, how about that? I don't think we're going to do that.
Okay.
And we're balling on a budget, too. Sometimes people forget that part. Like, I'm trying to look for direct flights or buses.
Yeah.
So we can stay out of the world of charter flights, which is expensive. You should do that in your next lifetime.
Oh, I would love to.
Get your charter flight company.
Charter's the way it's at.
Those things are profitable.
Yeah, I started doing that just with football just a couple of years ago. This is a whole new world.
It's a different animal, right.
This is wonderful. I want to do this all the time.
Makes things easier, but that you got to pay to play. So yeah,
unless you have all the defensive linemen in the back of the plane.
Yeah.
And we have to move. Coach, we appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Coach Andy Kennedy, we continue. We're going to meet three new Blazers next on the Inferno. Welcome back into the Inferno podcast. Landrum Roberts. We're going to meet three new UAB men's basketball players. We've been doing this for the last few weeks, but it's an overhaul of the roster. Excited about having these guys to my right, to my left, sitting with us. One of the newest additions, Ahmad Robinson, joining us. He's going to play the point, we presume. And Ahmad, welcome to Birmingham. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I can tell that you're the soft-spoken one here in the group.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Depends.
All right. To my immediate right, we got Chance Westry. Chance, recently at Syracuse. You got your start at Auburn. They're on the plains within this state. Highly touted out of high school. And we're excited to have you in Birmingham. How are you?
I'm good. I appreciate it.
We appreciate
you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. We're glad that you're here. And Paul Jobet, who was not born here in the state of Alabama, actually was not born stateside, was born in Lille. Did I get that right, France?
Yeah.
France? Mm-hmm. Paul, welcome. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Are you enjoying Birmingham so far?
It's cool.
It's a little bit different than Miami, right?
Yeah, I like it though.
All right. Well, that's good. That's a good start. All right. I'm going to start with my first of all, West Orange, New Jersey. You were there at, was it Raritan Community College?
Yep.
Early on, you got your Division I level start, at least at New Hampshire. Most recently in the SoCon. And playing at Mercer, but 17 points per game. You can shoot it. You can drive. Dealing with an injury right now with the labrum that Coach Kennedy was telling us about. But describe your journey and now being here in Birmingham and playing at UAB.
I mean, the journey definitely been a long one. You know, been all over the country, kind of been at five different schools. This being my fifth, so you know, I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here with Coach Kennedy and everybody and the guys. So, you know, it's been a long journey.
Yeah, and everybody can kind of speak to that. And that's not just UAB specific. I think that's a lot of guys now in their journeys in college basketball. Chance Westry, we'll talk. You got your start at Auburn University, then to Syracuse until recently, and then transferring to U of A. Describe the first few seasons of your college career and kind of get UAB fans up to date on what's been going on with you.
The start of my career was actually where I sat Auburn. Had a great summer. Obviously, you know, injuries happen. I was injured with my meniscus on my left knee, and then when I transferred to Syracuse, I hurt my right knee. And like, you know, now I'm healthy and just here to like resurrect my career and show people I'm still capable of being the Chance Westry I am out of high school.
Yeah, and what is that Chance Westry for folks who have not pulled up your highlights like I have or read your bio?
Just being able to create off the dribble, being able to score in all three ways, being able to defend 1-4 with my length, and just being capable of just hooping.
That's right. And Paul, you coming from Miami, played 2 years there. Actually, you got – was it your first collegiate start that happened at Duke?
Yeah.
In Cameron Indoor Stadium? Describe that. That's nuts. Number one, that's on the bucket list for me for just an arena, a venue to go and watch a game. But you starting for Coach Jim Larrañaga and the Hurricanes in that building, was that the craziest environment you've been in playing?
It was definitely a crazy environment. I wouldn't say it was the craziest. We've played in good, like in a lot of good arenas, but I'll say my freshman year, we went to Kentucky, and like the gym was sold out, and I think that was like the best atmosphere I've been a part of since I've been in college. So I'll say Kentucky was definitely like the best environment.
That would be another one. Rupp Arena and one of those iconic places, not just for college basketball, but in all of college sports. Leo France and being born there and then coming over, describe that journey and then take us up through high school, because I know you both played at high schools, prep academies, if you will, there in Orlando and Florida, but also in the state of Georgia.
It was fun growing up in France. Basketball is kind of like different. It's not like here where it's more up-tempo. So going into my sophomore year, I've played in Atlanta for 2 years. And my junior year, I got hurt. So I only played like 10 games. I ended up going into like a wheelchair and stuff because I got hurt my knee. So then after that, once I was fully recovered, I decided to transfer to Orlando, go to West Oaks Academy. It was a good opportunity for me to show people what I can do against better competition. We played in the national level, played in the ground session. A lot of good players were spent in that league. So I wanted to go there just to like show that I can compete against the top players in the country. So I did that. Once I finished my year there, that's when I got to Miami. I went to stay in Florida. So I did 2 years there. I learned a lot. I got better. I got stronger. And here I am here. So it was a good journey.
How much did you know about UAB?
I knew about UAB because of the players that they had. Jordan Walker, who was one of like the best players in the country. So I was kind of like familiar with UAB already.
What about you, Chance? And you're taking a big gulp of water as I'm asking that. Sorry.
But I knew about UAB from the summer after my freshman year when Jordan was, after he had an amazing year here, he did some pre-draft in Miami. So I got a chance to catch up on him, and he was telling me about the experience because obviously we have scrimmaged them, but I didn't compete in it. And I was like, hey, like, you remember that scrimmage? Like, it's a small world. And also him being from the East Coast, having the same situation as me of being at CN Hall and going through different schools and hard situations and coming here and gloomy. So it was amazing.
Ahmad?
And just, you know, I kind of like seeing Jordan Walker playing high school and stuff like that. And, you know, I just knew a couple of the guys from last year being a JUCO product and stuff like that. So I knew a couple people.
We get all of these different ingredients and so many personalities. And I haven't been able to meet JB yet, but I've met all of your other new teammates. How wild has that been? And I'll start with you, Ahmad. With you throwing together not only these different playing styles, guys from different backgrounds, but personalities. Has that been tough? We're only a week into it as far as actual workouts with all of your teammates. But how tough is that in kind of the breakdown of learning everybody's traits, their strengths, what they're like? Is that a difficult adjustment?
I mean, I've done it so many times at this point, so it's kind of easy to me, you know, just be out there, be yourself. That's the main thing, you know. Don't fake that part, but just try and get each other to keep talking and on the court and just hype each other up. That's like the easiest way to start communication. I feel like we've definitely been doing a much better job of doing that over the week.
Well, you, as if you're running the point, you're handling the ball and you're barking things out, you seem like a more quiet, reserved guy here. Is it different when you're on the court?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm quiet and reserved when I want to be. So, but definitely not on the court. On the court, I'm definitely hyped up at all times.
What about you, Chance? How difficult has the transition been?
I mean, it hasn't been difficult. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't my first time. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Being able to be the vocal guard is a big deal on talking to some of the freshmen and just helping them out. Because when I was young, others helped me out. So, passing the torch to them.
Paul?
It's been cool. It's been easy for me.
Did you guys know each other when you were playing in the ACC?
Nah.
I didn't know.
We had mutual friends, but yeah, I ain't know him.
I didn't know him, nah.
No.
But we beat them at our house.
And we beat them at our house. So. But, nah, it's been easy for me. Like, I don't know. I like to kind of like talk to everyone, see like how everyone is, like their personality and stuff. But it's nothing new to me. Last year, when I was coming back from my second year in Miami, the whole team was new. So even though I was at the same school, I still had to like get to know my new teammates and stuff. So it's basically the same thing here, just in a different environment, different school, but same thing. So it wasn't hard for me to kind of like do that.
Sometimes the best teachers' life experiences, and you all three have unique experiences. Chance, I want to ask you, just from basically physical setbacks that you've had with the injuries in both knees to being on that ride, being so highly touted, playing at major Division I programs in the first few seasons of your career, what has that taught you where you can now take that and kind of add to what you're going to do, not only here in Birmingham, but beyond?
Just being grateful for the opportunity. Never thinking you're too good or too low to be able to play anywhere, and just take advantage of every opportunity that you get.
What about you, Paul?
Can you repeat it, please?
Yeah, just being 2 years at Miami and some of the things that you've dealt with and your decision to go and find another spot to play, what can some of those past experiences do in aiding you and kind of things that you've learned that you can implement moving forward?
Just kind of like Chance said, be grateful for the opportunity, make the most out of it. I think it's a very good program and a very good opportunity for me personally to kind of like show what I can do at this level, which is like a very good level, a very good program. It's been winning over the past year. So just trying to like be grateful and make the most out of the opportunity that Coach AK and his coaching staff is giving me. So yeah.
Ahmad?
Can you ask the question again, Mike?
Yeah, just as far as starting out where you did, community college, and then going to all the different stops, the five stops, what can you gather from those experiences, those life experiences that you think that have made you not only a better player, but also a better person and will do so moving forward?
Really just like, you know, all the different stops I've been to, you know, I just realized that everywhere I go that, you know, you don't have really time to rest and stuff like that, or, you know, put yourself on a back seat, and that you could put in so much work sometimes, and you could put in all this work and sometimes still might not be enough. But if you do that and keep doing it, at some point you're going to have a breakthrough. So that's really all I learned, is that, you know, just go out there, play my hardest every day. And if I want to win, you know, I got to keep doing it every day and every day. And even if we lose, that, if I don't come back in the next day and still be the same me, still, you know, work as hard and do everything the same, that I'm going to never be a winner. So, you know, definitely just trying to win this year. So you got to focus on that type stuff.
For sure. I know we're early as far as concept and installation with what Coach Andy Kennedy likes to do, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Anything that you can relay to us, how this has been different versus maybe some of the previous spots and what you were asked to do in, let's say, the Mercer offense or another?
I mean, I haven't been on the floor really because my arm, sure. So I really don't know what exactly I'm going to be doing there. And, you know, obviously, I've been to a couple of schools, and no diss to any of my former teammates or anything like that. But, you know, I just feel like here, you know, we definitely have two guys right here at this table who could definitely, you know, dribble the ball, and I could see watching and feel comfortable dribbling the ball and stuff like that. And I just feel like that would be like something that's different here than at some of my other schools, that I could definitely, you know, like, you know, I've been scoring a lot more recently, but I'm not really a scoring guard. But at times in a game, I might need to score. The team might need me to score, so I could, you know, run it to, or just run the floor and not have to come back and get the ball every time, type of thing. So I definitely see that in this team.
When you guys are going and looking at potential opportunities and potential suitors, and you're in the transfer portal, how much of the roster are you looking at, or how much of this particular roster prior to you getting to UAB? You'd agree you're going to come and play for the Blazers, but you're looking, Chance, at the different names and kind of their backgrounds. How much studying are you doing about the teammates that are soon going to become your teammates?
I do a good research on them, on their playing styles. And also, I mainly look at the program itself. I mean, obviously, got a lot of success here, a lot of wins, and if that's happened in the past, why is it not going to happen in the future? And I just want stuff to rub off on me in a good way of being on the upside of things.
Paul, what about you?
I do a little bit of research. I don't really do much because I think that as I was getting recruited, like the coaches was kind of like already telling me what was their plan and stuff. So I kind of really just like trusted like the coaches with that kind of thing.
Okay. It's time for the lightning round. We're going to get to know you guys a little bit better and let some of that personality flow. So it's just some quick questions. Some of it pertains to basketball. Some of it does not. It's real life. Was this your first time? How many times had you been to Birmingham, number one, before coming here for UAB?
Twice.
You've been twice, Paul?
It's my first time.
Never been?
First time in Birmingham.
Okay, first time in Birmingham.
Yeah, but we played Sanford last year, so in Alabama.
Yeah, that's close.
Yeah.
It's just over the hill, so yeah, very close. Well, welcome to Alabama. We're glad that you're here. All right, we're going to start with you, Ahmad. What mystery or phenomenon would you love to solve or understand, and why?
What mystery or phenomenon?
Like Bermuda Triangle. Why'd all those planes get lost? That would be a question that I'd have. Is that a magnetic field? Is it weather patterns? Is there somebody out there that's swallowing up all of these planes like a big sea monster? That's an example.
Yeah, I'll probably go with like at the bottom of the sea.
What's at the bottom of the sea? Is there a Meg down there?
I'm not really sure what a Meg is. Like a Megalodon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Megalodon.
Yeah. I definitely could see it sound crazy down there for sure. In the water, nothing to play with. I mean, we came in. Go all the way down, water pressure.
No.
So I can only imagine.
Did you see the great white that they tagged off the Atlantic?
No.
Yeah. It's supposed to be the world's largest recorded 1,600 pounds and 14 feet.
Yeah, I'm big
when
on
they, when they get that, when that come out?
Oh, it was last week.
Yeah.
That they found it. But it's going to the North Carolina beaches, so don't worry about it. We're good. We're good here. Is sharks, is that a fear of your?
That's crazy.
To me, as far as apex predators, sharks, they scare me because you can't see them coming. They're in the water and they have an inherent advantage because you're not going to be able to outswim one.
Yeah, water, just nothing to play with.
Chances like, oh,
that's, man, crazy.
Yeah, forget that. What about you? Anything, a mystery, phenomenon, chance that you would like to?
That's a great question.
Maybe understand?
The government, who's the head of like the government, like the team, or like I want to go,
is it
deeper
one person calling the shots, is what you're saying? Yes. Or is there a secret backroom, cigar smoke filled backroom?
Correct.
Where everything's getting done and it's run by actually a panel of people from all over the world.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a good one. Paul?
I don't know. I already asked myself those type of questions. But I don't know. Like, is there like any sort of like life, like beside like here on Earth? Like,
if you're going aliens,
like, yeah,
yeah. That's a solid one. That would have been one of my first questions too.
Yeah.
Is there really life on other planets?
Right.
And if so, can we meet them?
What you think?
I think there is.
You think so?
I do.
Okay.
I think the Lord created a vast universe, and we've only got a sample of it right here. But there's other stuff that's out there.
Interesting.
Yeah. You're not buying that, are you?
No.
No? All right, next question. If you could instantly master any language, which would it be? Start with you, Paul.
Probably Chinese.
Chinese language. You know, the French language, that's one of the romantic languages, right? If I was ever posed this question, I have been before, it would be to learn French or Italian.
Mm.
To me, that seems like, especially if I was you guys' age.
Yeah.
It feels like you could, that would go well on a first date.
Yeah.
And I know, Paul, you are absolutely using some of that French when you're on a date, right?
Not really.
No?
Like, no.
I feel like that's wasted. You need to break that out. Can you break it out for us here?
Sure. Yeah. Like, which one of here?
UAB basketball is going to win a championship this year.
UAB va gagner un championnat cette année.
Yeah. Great. That's great. Oui, oui.
Yeah. Huh? Oui.
What about you, Chance?
Greek.
Greek?
Yeah.
You're going Greek?
Yeah.
Why Greek?
Just because I'm a big fan of Giannis and my best friend's Greek, so.
Okay. Awesome.
I'll probably go Japanese or Spanish.
Japanese or Spanish.
Facts.
Two solid ones. All right, we're going to start on this end now. How's the world of basketball evolved since you've been alive? You remember watching basketball. What are some of the changes, nuances you like, or maybe some stuff about the old game that you like?
I mean, everybody shoots threes now. You know, you gotta be able to shoot a three, like no matter what position. I feel like, I'm a big Kobe fan, so I used to like seeing people get to that mid range pull up. So I like what Shea doing a lot right now. You know, stuff like that. That's really the only thing I really miss about the old game. And it was a little bit more physical during the regular season. I feel like they be, you know, being mad soft or chilling in the regular season.
Chance.
Positionless. Being able to, with Wimby, I mean, I feel like it changed. Obviously, it's not really back to the basket with the big. It's more of being able to, in transition with the big, pushing it, create more space.
Same for you, Paul?
Same for me. I think that now, like, everybody's kind of, like, interchangeable. So it's, like, even though, like, you probably labeled as, like, a power forward. For example, like, KD is probably labeled as a power forward, but can play the three. So I think that that's probably, like, one of the biggest improvements that I've seen over the years.
If you could teleport anywhere in the world, you can come back at any time, where would you teleport?
Damn. I don't know. I guess Japan right now. I'm trying to go on a trip to Japan. So I'll go.
You're digging Japan right now.
Yeah. I'll go for Japan.
Why Japan? I'm just curious. This is a follow-up. If you don't want to answer, that's fine.
I just like the Japanese culture. You know, I watch anime, you know. I like the way they dress over there, too. And they got some cool people. Cool.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. I've never been to Japan. I'd like to go to Japan.
Monaco.
Monaco. Why Monaco?
Beautiful.
Great. A lot of money over there, too.
Yeah. Want to build a business, you know. I started there.
If you wanted to build a business. Could you see yourself doing that in the future?
I could.
What? I could. You got that entrepreneurial spirit. What would you be building?
I would think like a drywall company.
Okay. Sort of
start off slow.
People need drywall over there, man.
I'm saying.
Right. Paul, teleport anywhere?
That's a good one. Probably like Turks and Caicos. I've been wanting to go there for a minute now. I've been seeing like a lot of TikToks and stuff about Turks and Caicos. So I just want to go there, relax.
Is that your go-to social media platform, TikTok?
I really go Instagram first. Like, people say it's weird, but I don't know. Like, I'd be on the Instagram Reels just because it's all in the same app, so like, why switch over to TikTok? But I also go to TikTok too. So TikTok is like a strong backup for me.
I like I guess I see it on Instagram, but I like the ones of the dogs that have chewed stuff up and they come home and they got the human voices. I'm easy. I'm really easy. When did you know you wanted to play basketball at a high level? Come on.
I guess going into high school. Yeah, pretty much.
What about Paul? Did you grow up knowing that you wanted to play basketball?
I grew up as like a soccer fan because in France soccer is big. But my brother was supposed to like take me to like a soccer practice and always canceled every time. And I had my second older brother. He was playing basketball, not like at a crazy level, but he was playing basketball. So I've tried it when I was like 10 and I liked it. So like since I started playing, I was like, I want to play basketball like the highest level, because if I do something, I want to like do it like at the best level possible. So since I started playing, I always wanted to like play at a very competitive level.
Chance?
Well, when I was young, my parents put the ball in my hand, so my family's raised around basketball, so it just rode on me.
One meal for the rest of your life?
Catfish, candy yams, and mac and cheese.
Oh, nice. All right. What about you, Paul?
One meal.
Have you ever had escargot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Okay. That was a side question. Go ahead.
I'll probably go like carbonara, like pasta, but like made like on my mom, like in France. Cause like the way it's made here is not the same.
I don't she
like
rolls it out.
Yeah. It's just way better. So I say like carbonara.
That sounds so good.
Yeah.
I'd probably go like a salmon dish with some shrimp, rice, yeah. Spinach. Facts. My mom made that the best, so I'll go her home cooking.
Really?
Yeah.
How does she do the salmon?
I mean, she doesn't like her salmon to be raw, so it's a little well done, but the way she make it, she really in the oven on the grill, she get, you know, she do whatever.
Yeah,
it's gonna hit every time.
If there was another sport that you would be interested in playing, what would it be?
Probably track. You know, that was my first main sport, track. I used to be dusting people.
Football.
What position?
Quarterback. I played when I was younger. So
yeah.
Soccer. Yeah.
You still watch a lot of soccer?
Yeah, I do.
Good for the footwork, right? And that's got to translate to basketball.
It's great for the footwork.
What's wrong with the U.S. men's national team? Why have they been so bad and disappointing for so long?
I think that the U.S. is good at a lot of sports, but y'all can't have it all, obviously. I feel like Europe, we're already catching up with y'all as far as basketball right now.
Cap.
So, you know. I think we're doing a good job with that. So soccer is our thing. Y'all can have like football, because I think that basketball, like if you look at the best player in the NBA right now, like the European players are obviously ahead right now. So I think that yeah, like that's, y'all can have football, but I think we got the rest.
What?
I will give the group a chance to respond.
The Pacers are going to win the finals.
And who won finals MVP for them?
Okay.
Right. Like, it's always somebody that's not from the U.S. So I think we're just doing a great job. Like,
who has the most NBA rings? Where's he from?
He's from here. But okay, that's
what matters.
That's kind of
pointless. Do we all agree that Michael Jordan was the best that ever played the game?
No.
It's not a player from Europe that ever played the game.
Yeah,
it's best.
Definitely not.
I mean, it's not. That's what I say. We are okay, catching then. Up right now.
He's still like, catching up.
No. I said we're catching up like right now. Like as far as like lately, we've been catching up. If you look at who's been getting the last few MVPs, it's like.
But none of them are better than Michael Jordan.
I mean, we're talking about right now, not all time. So if we're talking about right now, I think we got it all time. Like, I'm going to give y'all your flowers. Of course, Michael Jordan, great player. Probably the GOAT as of right now. So, yeah. But I think we're catching up, if not better.
Do you want to add something to that, Chance? I'll give you a chance. Kevin Durant. Last rebuttal.
None of the European players are better than Kevin Durant or will ever be better than Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm.
I go Kobe, LeBron, best ever, so I don't know what Pete talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nah, I mean,
he might think he in Europe still. We're in Birmingham. Yeah,
but I think that's where they get it confused. I said the best right now. So I feel like right now.
Who's best right now?
Who the best right now? Who got MVP? Either Shea or Jokic. They're both.
Shea's not from Europe. Canada?
It's not here.
That's
it's not right here. He don't play for the U.S. national team.
Which French player is better than Kevin Durant?
Which French player is better than Kevin Durant?
Not European. No French.
Which French player is better than Kevin Durant? We're talking about right now?
Yes.
No one, bro.
That's tough.
I don't think no one is, but.
There we go.
Yeah, no one is better than Kevin Durant right now.
There we go. Right now, right, Paul? Right now.
But I said the world, because France is so small compared to the, like, sure. America is way smaller. So you can't compare this small of a country against this, like, America is way too big. That's why I say Europe. So
did any of you see the Dream Team documentary about the practice that they filmed?
Yeah.
Insane. And I know you guys were too young, but I can remember that. And that Dream Team was absolutely just, wow. But you're right. The world has closed the gap a considerable amount from when we saw that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Team USA went crazy last year. I mean, they brought home the GOAT.
They did.
Y'all almost beat us.
Had a good game.
But hey, you know what? I thought France did a great job of hosting the games.
They did a great job of hosting it.
Very good job of hosting. I would not have jumped in that river. Would you have gotten in that river? With the levels of E. coli and some of the other stuff they had?
People jumped in the river.
Oh, yeah. They had the mayor that jumped in and said, hey, everything's safe. And then you see the people swimming through it. And there's a lot of rivers, by the way, not just in France, or that one that I would not jump in, but I would not probably jump in that one.
Amazing host, Paul.
You guys were amazing hosts.
Hey, I love my country. I think we did a good job.
Yep.
We almost had the game. Steph Curry came in clutch for y'all, so.
That's another GOAT. Oh, my God. We got so many.
Nobody threw out Tony Parker at all.
Great player.
Tony Parker's like.
Great player. Legend.
Legend. Yep.
Tony Parker or Stephen Curry?
As far as what?
Who's better?
Who's better? I think Steph got it. Like, I'm not going to be biased, but.
Come on, you jump in at any time.
No,
you got something you want to add?
I got Steph.
This is really good. I feel like we're building chemistry right now here in the last 20 minutes. Very spirited debate, but it's civil discourse. That's fine.
Great debates.
Yes. All right. Movie or TV? Which one would you rather watch? A good TV show, or would you rather watch a movie? And what's your favorite movie?
Favorite movie?
Yeah.
It's tough. There's a lot. I would probably go movies too right now because I'm not too big into TV shows. I don't know. Favorite movie?
I go Tombstone. Old school Western.
I like Menace to Society.
Menace to Society?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Is that the one where he said, what did you say about my mama? Yeah. I think it was.
I go TV show. I love All American.
Okay.
Spencer.
I go TV show just because, I mean, a movie is cool and all, but like, you got 2 hours max, 2 hours and a half. I like to, like, you know, like, I'm at home chilling. I can, like, just go through, like, a whole season just chilling.
So when you guys aren't on the court, you're not in doing classwork, whatever. What is your way that you like to just hang out besides watching movies and TV? Because I feel like we all like to do that. But what's a hobby? What's something you really are passionate about or you enjoy doing outside of basketball?
Trying new restaurants.
That's good.
Yeah, I was going to say eat food. Like, I think I just love, like, good food. So I'm always down for some food.
And Birmingham's a great food town. And I've told all of your teammates this.
That's one thing I said. I said, like, the food like that we get like after practice, like, I like it. It's better than what I'm used to. So, I like the food here so far.
I was in Miami. It was last June, but went down, and I always wanted to have an authentic, like, Cuban sandwich.
Mm.
And it was amazing. And then had the fried plantains.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
That's good. Yeah,
it was really good. You?
What?
Just outside of a basketball hobby? Food. Just trying food. Yep. Any particular food that's your go-to? I know that you said.
Yeah.
What's your last meal?
Here in Birmingham is Ted's. Like
yeah?
Teddy's.
Ted's.
Yeah.
Yeah, no Ted.
Little classic spot.
Yeah.
Right by campus.
What's that?
It's right across the street from your apartment.
It's a meet and three.
Mm. It's like right across.
But they'll break out some Greek food every now and then on the serving line. The pasticcio and
yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
fried chicken, mac and cheese.
Yeah. Tell Tassos I said hello next time you're in there.
Gotcha. I'm going Wednesday.
All right, tell Tassos gotcha. I said hello. Mm. What about you?
I like nature. You know, I go some nature.
Yeah,
something calm. Yeah,
just something tranquil, cool.
Yeah.
One.
That, watch anime. I bet you always say no TV shows. Yeah. So
I like TV shows. I'm not. I never got into anime, but I know a lot of people are.
Yeah, no, anime is definitely like that. I would try giving another watch. You could definitely find something that's your cup of tea.
Favorite sports venue you've been to as a player or as a fan?
I don't know.
We'll come back to you.
Come back to me. Let me think. Oh.
You played in some cool places. So have you, Paul. Or it could be a place that you went to as a kid.
Staples.
Staples is good.
Before it was Crypto.
Yeah. I went by it when it was still Staples, too.
Yeah.
Paul?
My favorite place where I've played at?
Either one. Played... I mean, Cameron Indoor Stadium is really cool, but...
It was cool, but I don't know, like, that's not, like, it didn't stand out to me like that, because, like, it was so hype, but I don't know, personally, I didn't really feel it as much, but we played in MSG last year.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I think, like, that's probably, like, number one right now.
MSG would be neat.
Yeah.
Actually, now I think about it, I play in the Barclays, so I would say maybe there or what's the thing in Florida, the Wild World of Sports?
Oh, the ESPN.
Yeah, that was type tough. And then so I ran track there and I played basketball out there. So I did, like, you know, I seen both of best worlds type. So it was lit.
All right, Ahmad, this is going to be your parting shot just for this episode anyways. To UAB fans are getting to know you a little bit here. You got a message for the Green and Gold Nation.
I don't know. Do I got a message? You know, it's going to be a fun year. You know, I hope you guys come out and support. You know, we're going to bring a lot of energy and it's going to be a lot of fun. That's it.
Chance.
Go Blazers. Let's keep the winning going, and it's going to be exciting to watch.
Mr. Paul Joubert.
Yeah, go Blazers for sure. Can't wait to see the fans at the Bartow. Expect to see a team that's going to be very competitive, that's going to win a lot of games. And, yeah, so that's my message. Just going to see a team that's ready to compete. No matter who we play. So just be excited for that.
I know we're excited. I know UAB fans are just talking to them about the roster. Having you guys here, the accumulation of talent. I know there's a lot of work to be done. You got to get healthy, but that's coming soon, right?
Facts.
By the way, I got a little bit of a tweak in my shoulder. I don't think it's a labrum. I'd know if it was a torn labrum, right?
Yeah, you would definitely know.
It hurts. It hurts. But
you would know. I couldn't lift my arm.
Yeah, for a little minute. It's not torn.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
No, I'm just old.
Might need a massage.
A little bit of physical therapy.
Yeah, we'll do that. Ahmad, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Chance, Paul, great meeting you guys.
Pleasure.
This is the future, the 2025-2026 UAB Blazers. Just a sample of what you're going to get at Bartow and beyond this season. This is the Inferno Podcast. Inferno Podcast continues. You know, when I think back to my childhood and I think about some of those fun moments, some of those fun memories, a lot of them happen during the summertime. You think vacation and being out of school, that's great. But also you think about camp, summer camp. And I'm not talking, and those are great, just about your typical summer camp where you think about canoeing, kayaking, archery, crafts, skits, all of that good stuff. But how about a specific sport and to be trained by some of the best in the business? Check out UABSports.com, and across the summer months, whether it's Johnny or Susie and they're interested in a particular sport or they just want to learn more about it, they can do so with a host of different sports across the UAB campus. You can find out more, as always, comprehensive list of the camps, information about those camps, but also up-to-date news, scheduling, and all you need to know green and gold athletics there at UABSports.com. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.